Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Samach Hei. As you look at the Gemara, you will immediately notice a rare marking, the firebox around Rav. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, which we call Nosei, in which we've written the following. Dinoi Shel Rav, the law, the teaching of Rav. Tashlum HaKeren, the principle that is paid by a thief when he's caught and must pay for the theft. Of course, we're assuming that the item that he has stolen is no longer around, so we have to talk in terms of the cash payment. So the principle is Kain Shigonav, will reflect the value of the item at the time of the theft. HaKefel V'dalid V'hei, the extra payment, the Kefel, in the event that that's what he has to pay. In other words, a standard thief pays double. So the when we speak about double, we're talking about the principal plus one. The principal value, if the principal value was $100, he pays $200. $100 of those represents the principal, and the extra $100 represents the kefel. That payment and the 4 or 5 payment in the event that he, if it's an animal that he stole, he then either slaughtered it or sold it, he then pays again another twice or 3 times, which gets you to a total of 4 times or 5 times the original amount. Those extra amounts, kishas hamoda bedin, those payments are made in accordance with the value at the time of the appearance in court. The reason behind the possibility of price fluctuation will be a central element in the Gemara's discussion. But you do see an issue concerning price or value fluctuation of the item that was stolen. Now the Gemara, Gufa. Gufa is a term you find very often representing a quote from something that had been mentioned in passing in the earlier sugya, is now going to be the focus of the Gemara's discussion. So this was mentioned back on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. You can navigate with the little arrow to the side of the Gemara text and find where that was. But in the meantime, let's continue. Omar Rav, Karen, the principal payment that the Ganav makes, that the thief makes, is a Kain Shigonav, in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Tashlume Kefil, the Tashlume Arba, the Chamisha, the additional payments that he has to make, he might have to make, is Kishas Hamoda Bedin, in accordance with the value of the item at the time of the appearance in court. My Taimo de Rav, what is the basis for Rav? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk that we had cited extensively in our previous year, Shmos Perik Chof Beis Pasuk Gimel. These words appear in the Pasuk, Geneva V'chayim. Amai Ka'oma Rachmona Chayim B'Geneva. What sense shall we make out of the word Chayim? Chayim has to do with life, coming to life, in conjunction with the word Geneva, theft. So Rav explains, Achyo L'Keren Ke'en Shigonav. That would mean, if we translate it into English, we resurrect the value of the principal in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. So the word chayim, having to do with life or resurrection in this case, is in accordance with the time of Geneva. Omar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, upon hearing this teaching, said, Amino, I figured, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav, Omar lohoshmaitza, Rav uttered this teaching when he was Nayim v'shochiv, he was dozing off, lying, reclining on his bed. In other words, it's not an accurate teaching. He must have said it when he was dozing off. The triangles that appear are explained on the side under our Mivneh, the structural note, where we feature the triangle indicating Kushyos al Rav. These appear as questions on Rav. So what is Rav Sheshes's difficulty with Rav's comment? Desanyo, we have the following Tanaic source. Kusha, a scrawny animal, a thin, emaciated type animal, Vishmina, and it fattened up. And that is what was stolen. In other words, an emaciated animal was stolen. It fattened up in the course of time, and then the ganav is found. He has to pay. Mishalim tashlumei kefel v'tashlumei arba v'chamisha ka'ein shegonav. Note the dashed underlining. The multiple payments are made in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. That's not like Rav, who said that those multiple payments are in terms of the time that he appears in court. Parenthetically, looking at this case, the ganav will end up getting the victim ends up getting less than what Rav would have prescribed. The Gemara answers. On the behalf of Rav, we answer. Amri, we answer. Mishum, the Omar Lei, the ganav, the thief in this case, has a claim why he should be paying the Ke'en Shigonav rate, which is the lower amount. The Omar Lei means the ganav can say to the victim, he says, Anoa patimno, I fattened it up. I invested monies to fatten it up, the av shaklis, and you should take money that is a result of my investment. So, therefore, the ganav has a winning claim. But the main point here is that this is, in the meantime, a unique situation where the increase in value had been a result of the. Of the ganav himself investing money. And for the time being, we'll simply say that, and Rav wasn't talking about a case like that. Toshma, we quote another source, which again represents a problem for Rav. Here, the opposite. Shmeino, it was stolen, was a fat, bulky animal. The Kishon became emaciated. Mishalem tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba v'chamisha ka'ein shigonav. Once again, you see the multiple payments based on the time of the theft. Those multiple payments at time of theft does not match what Rav said. Rav said that the tashlume kefel tashlume arba v'chamisha are kishas hamod abedin in accordance with the value at the time of the appearance in court. Now, let's point out, just again, parenthetically, that in this case, the Nignav, the victim, is going to be getting more in value than what would have been in accordance with Rav. The Gemara says, Hasam Nami, in that case as well, the victim is entitled to the greater amount, because Mishum Damrinon Lei, we say to the thief, Mali katla kula, Mali katla palga. The expression, if we translate, is what difference does it make whether you killed it entirely or you killed it partially? The Rashi on the second narrow line, Mali Katla Palga, killing it partially by making it emaciated. The Ganav in this case had through his use of the animal caused the emaciation. So Rashi says, Mali Katla Palga Hukuch Me'ahi Shaita De Akrisha, from the time that you started the emaciation process, Aschela La Tvicha, that's the point at which the slaughtering, so to speak, took place. And at the moment that he started the use of the animal and the proactive depreciation, it's the animal was still worth the original value. So that's why in a case like that, we charge him Ke'en Shegonav. Ki Ko'ama Rav, that which Rav said, that the Kefel, the additional payments, are in accordance with the time of court appearance, that's Beyukra Vezula Hudekomar. He spoke in terms of market fluctuations. As far as the animal itself, the animal remains in the same state, the same physical state. But as a result of market fluctuations, yukro means expense, zula means cheapening. Under those circumstances, Rav said his din. Now, when we speak about market fluctuations, we haven't said or committed ourselves to saying that originally it was worth more, and then at the Hamad Bedin it became worth less, or at the time of the theft it was worth less, and at the time of Hamad Bedin it became worth more. That detail is going to figure as we go on in our Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidomi. You notice we have a house marking on the side of the Gemara. We indicate that this is Shlavim, stages. Behavonas Hodi Omar HaGemara. In trying to understand the Gemara's comment, Ki Koma Rav, when did Rav say his point of view? That's Beyukro Vezula. Always said that it means price fluctuations, but we haven't been more precise or more detailed. Now we do just that. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chi Domi, what are the circumstances, the specific circumstances behind Rav's comment? E Lema de Meikora Shavya Zuza, that at the time of theft it was worth one Zuz. Zuz, a type of coinage. If you prefer, you can say $1. Ulubisov Shavya Dalid Zuzi. And at the end, it was worth 4 Zuz. Rashi explains the term Ulubisov Shavya Dalid. He says, Bishah Sha'avdim in Olam. At the point that the stolen item was no longer there, at the point of its disappearance, it's being used up or whatever, it's leaving the world, it went up in value. Keren Ke'en Shigonav. Well, then the principal, according to Rav, is it's going to be 1 Zuz, that's how much you'll have to pay, which reflects the value at the time of the theft. If that be the case, then we raise the following problem. Lema pliga de Rav adarabba, should we say that Rav's approach to compensation would be at odds, in disagreement with Rabba? And here the question takes a number of lines to develop, that's why we have a long question marking. Diyama Rabba. Well, let's see what Rabba said. Haiman de gozel chavito de chamra mechavrei. Someone stole a chavita, a barrel of chamra's wine, from his friend. Meikara shavya zuza, ulubasov shavya dalad zuzi. At the beginning, at the time of theft, it was worth 1, and then it went up in price to 4. This setup is set up to parallel what we had said after the house marking within Rav. At the beginning, 1, later, 4. What does Rabbo say about this? Tavra Oshasya Mishalem Dalid. if the thief broke the barrel or drank the wine, he will pay four. That is a payment that reflects the shas hamodah bedin. In other words, you have the principal that the thief is charged with in accordance with the value of, well, the later value. What did Rav say about principal payment? He said principal payment is Kain Shigonav. So, and Rav has another scenario, Isbar Memela. It broke on its own, then the barrel cracked on its own, then Mishalim Zuz, he pays one Zuz. But we see that we have Rabba ruling that in the case of the thief breaking the barrel or drinking the wine, which Rashi calls that's the actual point of theft, in the sense that up till that point the barrel itself could have been returned, but now this is what we call the point of no return. So this is the act of theft that he, the ganav himself, committed. And lo and behold, you have the principal being paid in accordance with the later time higher value. What would Rav have said about that, about payment of principal? He says payment of principal is in accordance with the original value. The Gemara responds, Amri ki koma Rav. Rav said his idea that principal is paid in accordance with the original value, kigon de meikora shavya dalet ubesof shavya zuza. Yes, he did speak about his din was in the context of price fluctuation, but in a very specific direction, where the original value was 4 and the depreciation was 1, where the original value, the Ke'en Shigonav, in this case would be 4, and the Shas Hamodah Bedin would be 1. Keren Ke'en Shigonav, as we just said, the Keren, the principal, he would have to pay 4, and Tashlumi Keva Rav Chamisha Kishas Hamodah Bedin, and the payment of double, or the payment of the multiple payments of 4 or 5, would be in accordance with the value, the besof, that was, it had gone down to 1. So that if the item itself was worth 1 at the time of Shas Hamodah Bedin, and you would then say, well, 4 times that would be 4. 4 times 1 is 4. That would be the 4 or 5, if he had stolen an ox, then he would have to pay 5 times the original value, and that would be a total of 5 for the multiple payments. Tony Rav Chanina L'suya L'Rav. Before we go on, I use those examples just to give a feeling for what we mean by multiplying the values, when in truth, when you really focus on the exact amounts, I would have to be a little more accurate in saying that, well, once the principal is paid, when we speak about 5, it really means 4 times more. So the 4 times more would be a payment of 4 zuz. And when we speak about a payment of 4, it really means principal plus 3 times. So that would come out in this case to be, the principal would be 4, and the payment of 4 times would be another 3 zuz. Tony Rabbi Chanina L'suya L'Rav means that Rabbi Chanina presents a Tanaic source that will support Rav. Notice, first we have a long point marking. Following this long point, which continues down on Omid Beis, you'll then see another long marking, which is a rejection, a Dechia. So in the meantime, he makes a point, but it will be subject to Rava's rejection. Balabayas Shetan Tainas Ganav Bepikadon. A person who had been entrusted with something to watch claims that it was stolen, Vinishba, and he swears to that effect, and he turns out that he's lying, Vahoide, and he confesses. Ubo Edim, and witnesses come in and testify to that effect, that he has the item. If his confession was before the witnesses appeared, then Mishalim Karen V'Chomesh V'Asham, he would pay the principal. He adds a fifth. A fifth is because of his false, it's a fine because of his false oath, and he brings an Asham sacrifice, a guilt offering. If first the witnesses appeared saying that he lied, he still has the item, and it was never stolen from him, and then he confesses, well, his confession is really of no significance in the sense of saving him the kefel, because the witnesses came first. Mishalim tishlumei kefel v'asham. He pays the double amount that a shomer chinom has to pay when falsely claiming theft. And he brings an osham. He brings a guilt offering. The Gemara continues. V'chumsho oyle loy bekfeloy. Divrei Rabbi Yankiv. A very interesting observation. He says that the chomesh payment that should be made because of the false oath is absorbed within, or corresponds to, will be a little clearer when we go further into the Gemara, but the Chomesh is included with the Kefel that he is paying. If we take a look at the Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, Mishalim Kefel V'Osham, V'Chomesh Eilulo B'Socha Kefel, Sherei Chomesh L'Bailim Hu. The chomesh is paid to the owner of the item. Vehu shokal, and he by having received the kefel, he is getting also the chomesh. V'al korchach ha'odu Rabbi Yankiv, that which Rabbi Yankiv is teaching, b'sheshoven ke'echod ha'chomesh va'kefel komairi. That we're talking about a case, a situation, where the chomesh and the kefel are the same amount. So that when he gets the kefel, we can say, you are also getting paid the chomesh. Dihavi kfeilu tfei mechumsha, if the kefel was a larger amount, lav chumsha have, we wouldn't refer to it as a fifth. Velo miftar lei, and the thief will not be exempt, Ad de Mishalem Chomesh, until he pays one fifth. The Chomesh Kapora de Shvuahu. The Chomesh is a payment that serves as an atonement for the false oath. So if the Kefel is exactly the same amount as the Chomesh, and we have to explain how that could be, but if it comes out like that, then when the owner gets the Kefel, we can say, you're also getting the Chomesh, and they're the same amount. And you'll get your atonement for the Shvua. But if the Kefel is more, it's true that the greater amount includes the lesser amount, but we can't call it the fifth. You need to pay exactly a payment of one-fifth to serve as that atonement that the Torah demands. We'll go over this later in the Gemara, because this whole source is being brought. This source is being brought as a support to Rav. We have to see mechanically how does that work out. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'chachomim oimrim. They have a drosha that says b'roishoy v'chamishiso. This is based on a pasuk that we have included on the side of the Gemara. Vayikra perek hey pasuk chof dalid. It says as follows in the pasuk: El mikol asher yishav alav lasheker. This is referring to a person who swore falsely concerning money matters like theft. V'shilamo yisov b'roshoi v'chamishisov yosef alav l'asher hu lo yitnenu b'yom ashmoso. So the words b'rosho v'chamishisov you see in the pasuk, and the Chachomim explain the words as follows: Momon hamishtalein b'rosh moisiv chaimish. When a payment is made which is just of principal nature, principal value, then we can speak in terms of adding a fifth. Momon she'ein mishtalein b'rosh, payments that are not just principal. For example, a thief, when he pays kefel, he's not paying just the principal. He's paying double. Oh, in cases like that, ein moisiv chomish. There's no addition of one-fifth. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, ein chomish v'osham mishtalem b'mokom sheish kefel. He adds, not only is the fifth not to be paid when there's kefel, but the sacrifice is not brought either. The Gemara will deal later with understanding those opinions a little more clearly, but Kotoni Mias, in the meantime, it however says, this is Kotoni Mias, is what the Shas often does when a long Tanaic source is quoted, when the source was brought in with a specific intention, it re-quotes, or it quotes the pertinent section of the source, for appreciating the point. And what was the point of bringing in this source? To support Rav. And what did Rav say? So Rav said that Karen, Kain, Shegonav, and Tashumi Kefil, Shema Arba B'chamisha, Kishasa Moda B'din, is when it started off, when the items started out as being worth more. It was worth, in the example we saw, Rav said it was originally worth 4, and it then went down in value because of price market fluctuation to be worth 1. So Rav said the principal is 4, and the multiple payments will be in terms of the later value, the 1 zuz. So in this source, what did we see? Kotoni miyasid, however, said in this source, Chumsho Eilo Loi Bikfelo Divrei Rabbi Yankiv. And as we saw in Rashi, at the bottom of the Rashi commentary on Omid Aleph, that meant that when the Chomesh is the same as the Kefel, the payment of the Kefel exempts him from paying an additional fifth. The Kefel is the fifth. Well, hey Fidomi, how do you come to such a conclusion? It sounds impossible. The fifth of the value of the item is the same as the double payment. So e lema, and here we have a double underline indicating stages, shlavim lavonas amokar. These are different stages in appreciating the source. So we go through the e lema, which is a inevitably an attempt that won't be accepted, and then elolav. You see a couple lines later, at which point we have the seeming support that the Rabbi Chanina was trying to bring for Rav. The third double underline, you see, Li'olam, is where Rava rejects this and gives you his interpretation of Rabbi Yankiv. So let's go through the stages. Ilema, if what Rabbi Yankiv was describing was the Meikara Shavya Dalid, Ulibasaif Shavya Arba. An item that had no price fluctuation. It started off at the time of theft as worth 1, and at the time of Hamoda Bedin, it was worth 4 at the time of the theft, the Mikor means at the beginning, and at the time of appearance in court, it was also worth 4. I said at the time of theft, by the way, but technically speaking, in the source, we were dealing with a shomer that claimed it was stolen when he himself made off with it. But for our purposes, that's the same idea. It all comes under the general heading of thievery. So if you were to think that Rav Yankiv was speaking about circumstances like that, it was originally worth 4, at the end it was worth 4, how can you say, Chumshoi Oile Loi Bikfelo, that the fifth is the counts as is included in the kefel, and as Rashi said earlier, because the kefel is the same as the fifth, that's not true though. Kfela arba'a. What is kefel? Kefel means a double payment. So you look at the principal and add that amount. We call in mathematics, you would say 2x. X being the principal and the kefel being one more time, so it's a total of 2x. But the kefel is the amount of the principal that you're paying in addition. So what would the kefel, that kefel part of the payment be? 4. What is the chumash? What's a fifth of that? When we speak about a fifth, very often in the Talmud, it really means you take whatever basic number you're dealing with and add one fraction of it. So if your basic unit is made of 4, in this case 4 zuz, you take one unit of that, namely 1 zuz, and add it to the 4, you get a total of 5. The 1 zuz represents a fifth of the new number. So the chomesh, in a case of something that was worth 4, equals zuzo, 1 zuz. And just to repeat, because when you take 1 zuz and add it to the original total, you get 5 zuz. And the new number, 5, one-fifth of that is 1 zuz. The kefel then, in this case, if there was no price fluctuation, the kefel was 4, and the chomesh was only 1. So you wouldn't be able to say that the kefel payment will cover the chomesh. El olav, rather, it must be as follows. In order for Rabbi Yankiv to say which in other words would mean that the kefel and the chomesh are one in the same amount, Elolav, you have to say Demeikara Shavya Arba, Ulubasov Shavya Zuza. We're talking about an item that originally was worth 4. As a result of price fluctuation, it decreased in value to 1. The Kfela Zuza. The Kfel is a Zuz. Well, how do you come to saying that the Kfel is a Zuz? That is if you're evaluating the kefel payment based on the besof, the end. The chumshe, one-fifth, equals also zuza. Well, how is one zuz a fifth? A fifth of what? A fifth of the original value. Alma, we see from here that keren, the principal, and we should have emphasized maybe, but the fifth is a value, is one-fifth of the principal. But which principal are we talking about if the fifth is going to be one zuz? So the keren, the principal, must have been 4. When was the principal worth 4? So almo keren equals kain shigonav. It was 4 at the beginning. The kefel that you called here one zuz is tashlume kefel tashlume arba v'chamisha is kishas hamodah bedin. Oh, that is the breakdown as Rav himself had said. Omar Rava li'olam deme'ikora shavi arba. Now, again, we just repeat, we have a long rejection, and Rava's going to explain Rav Yankiv in such a way that you're not going to see a support in this Tanaic source to what Rav said. Because Rava says the circumstances of this Tanaic source are the Meikora Shavi Arba, Vashtanami Shavi Arba. It started off worth 4, and right now it's worth 4. Utukakashya, and you would ask, well, but how can you say that the Kefil is the same as the Chaimesh? Kfela Arba, the Chum She Zuza. The kefel is 4. The chomesh is only 1. How can you say chum shul oilu lo b'kfeilo? So Rava has an answer for that. Hocha b'mayaskinon. The source is speaking about the following. Kagon shenishba. V'chozer v'nishba ar ba pa'omim. V'hoide. This shomer, he swore it was stolen. And then he swore again. He swore four times. And then finally confessed. V'hatera omra. The Torah in the Pasuk, Vayikra, hey, Pasuk of Daled, says, V'chamishi sov. That is chomesh in the plural form, multiple chomeshes. HaTorah ribso chamishiyos harbe bekeren achas. There could be, in fact, multiple payments of a fifth, and we said the fifth is a payment because of the oath. So if this fellow swore falsely four times, what's the chomesh of an item originally worth four? The chomesh is one zuz. If he swore four times, so he's going to be paying four zuz. What's the kefel of an item worth four? The kefel is also four. In a case like that, we say that the chomesh payments, the four chomesh payments, which a total of four, are the same as the kefel that has to be paid, i.e., four. But as far as a Tanaic source showing, reflecting Rav's position in regarding an item that experienced price fluctuation, that we don't see here. Because the example of the source involved an item that remained constant in value from Meikora till Hashto, from the beginning till now, till the end. Before we go further, we allow our eyes to glance, to rove into the margin of our mark, Gemaras. You have a topic heading in Osei, which reads, Hezber Machloikes Chachomim Reb Shimon Bar Yochai Binyan Korban Oshem B'mikra Shemeshalim Kefel. We're here to explain the final two opinions in the source above, where the Chachomim said that where a kefel is paid, so a fifth is not added, but a sacrifice will be brought. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said that when kefel is paid, not only is a fifth not paid, but there's no sacrifice either. So Omar Mar, here we quote from the original source, and we've included a little star to the side of the Gemara text to enable you to see where the quote comes from more easily. Top line. V'chachomim omrim b'roshoi v'chamishiso. Momon hamishtalim b'rosh moisiv chomesh. A payment that is a purely principal payment, then you will add a fifth. The fifth for the false oath. Momon she'ein mishtalein b'roish, ein moisiv chomesh. However, when kefel is paid, when you're not paying just the principal, then no fifth will be added. Avol, osha maisi. But as far as the chachomim are concerned, the guilt offering will be brought. What is different about the chomesh that you say it is not paid? Well, that's what the pasuk said. When you're rosho, when you're paying only the principal, then chamishiso. If it's a payment involving kefel, so no chamishis. Well, osham nami lo mishalem. Then, by the same token, an osham should not be brought either. Dalk siv, berosho v'chamishiso v'esa shamo. If you look back in the pasuk after rosho and chamishiso, a little bit at the beginning of pasuk chof hey, you see v'es ashamo. So you would say that the rosho, when you're paying principal, so then you pay the fifth and you pay the osham. If you're paying kefel, just like you ejected the fifth, eject the requirement for osham as well. Omar loch rabbonon. The rabbonon respond and say, no, the reason we don't eject the osham, the word es paske kro. The word S that you see at the beginning of Pasuk Chaf Hei breaks, is a separation, so that the restriction or the limitation that was caused by the word Rosho doesn't extend past the word S, which is Paske. It splits, it breaks, it blocks off the effects of the, we'll say, the limitation. And therefore, even when you're not paying just Rosho, just a principal payment, but when you're paying Kefil as well, you will have an Oshem brought. For Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who he indicated that the Oshem is ejected as well, Ves, the Vav of the word Ves, which you saw at the beginning of Pasuk Chof Hei, we didn't read it together before, but we had written it in an aside. You can see back up there where you read Pasuk Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Hei says, Ves Ashamo Yovi Lashem El Tomi Minatzon. So the word at the beginning of the Pasuk has a Vav, Ves, the Vav, Arve Kral, the Gemara says. Arve means it mixes it back together, it includes it back together. Arve is a word meaning literally to mix things together, but it means that they're all combined as one. So the limitation that you saw in the word Rosho, whereby we said that if you're paying only principal, then you add a fifth. If not, you won't add the fifth. You will, by the same token, you will not have a Korban Asham. Rabbonon Amri Loch, the Rabbonon respond to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai regarding his comment about the Vav. They say if the purpose of that word, V'es, was to mix things together, then lo lichtei v'rachmona lo Vav v'lo Es. Don't write your basic S, which we said was a block, and you wouldn't need then the Vav to mix it back together. So the fact that you have that word there indicates that it really does serve as a block. Because otherwise, if we were interested in everything being understood together, like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, then they just leave out the word altogether. Rav Shimon bar Yochai Maloch, he responds and says, Es lo sagida lo kosav. The word S had to appear. S, in its basic form, indicates a block. Lafsuki, bein momon gavoa la momon hedyo, to serve as a separation between momon gavoa. Momon gavoa literally means the money from on high, but it means it's a reference to the holy sacrifice, the korban osham. It's not, we'll say, derech eretz. It's not proper etiquette to, in one breath, talk about money that's paid to the hedyot. Momon hedyot, that's the principal payment, and as Rashi before indicated, the fifth was also paid to the owner. So those are mundane payments made to a person. So it's not right to have the personal payment and the holy payment in the form of the sacrifice taught in one breath. So you need to have the S there. Hilkoch osavav arve kra. Therefore, the vav had to come to undo the halachic block that would have resulted. So you have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. You've got a fulfillment of etiquette by having the word S there, separating the common payment from the holy payment, and you have the vav enabling us in legal terms to point out that when a payment is not going to be limited to Karen, not only will the Chumash be ejected or not included, likewise the sacrifice won't be brought either. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new train of thought. We glance at the side in our margin where we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. We indicate Ad Samach Zayin Beis. We have a very rather long discussion ahead of us here we're holding only on Samach Hei Omid Beis. The topic deals with Shinui, Kaina, or Lo Kaina. Shinui means a change in the item. What do we mean by change? Is it a question of a physical change, where something was physically altered, a physical alteration, a proactive physical alteration, or a change by virtue of the, if it's an animal, it simply matured and it went from being a lamb into a sheep. So you have a change in that sense, even though it's not a proactive physical alteration, but rather as a result of simple passage of time, you saw a shinui. These are details that will figure in our Gemara, but the issue is when you're dealing with a thief, of course, the item that he stole is to be returned. But there may be a limitation or an exception to that requirement in the event that the item that he stole underwent a change and it's no longer the same as that which he stole. In which case, of course, he's not expected to return the item itself. We would refer to that as shinui kaina. The change enables acquisition, enables the thief to acquire it. That doesn't mean that the thief is off the hook. The thief will have to offer a cash compensation for the value of the original item before the change. But we are focusing on the issue of the thief's requirement in returning the item itself. So we can say ahead of time that is not always the case. If some change took place, then we might say shinui kaina. We're trying to speak in very general terms so as to allow the Gemara to fill in many details. The immediate topic that we have, you can see we have a nosei, a topic heading. And again, we're going to see a firebox. Earlier, I don't think I mentioned the reason we had a firebox around Rav, but it's never too late. I hope you notice from the beginning of our shiur till this point in the Gemara, we were preoccupied with the opinion of Rav, so that we gave him a highly visible firebox marking to convey that point, that we would be occupied with Rav for a long time, for at least an omen of Gemara, and certainly that was the case. We, in fact, have, this is unusual that in one shiur we'd have two firebox markings, but we have one for Rabbi Ilah as well. He is essentially the beginning of a sukya that lasts till Samach Zayin Rebeis. You can imagine how central or significant Rav Ilah is, therefore, in our discussion. Under our topic heading, we indicate Shitasish Rav Ilah, the opinion of Rav Ilah, the Hagenev Tlev and Asa Ayel, a thief who stole a lamb, a male lamb. The Asa Ayel, in the course of time, while in the possession of the Ganav, it turned into an ayel, a ram, an adult male sheep, as a ram. Kanoi b'shinui zeh. With this change, the thief acquires it. There's another legal nafkamina, practical application in this analysis of shinui kaina, which we didn't mention before, but here it is. V'im tavachai, if the thief slaughters it as a ram, eino mishalem dalid v'heib, he doesn't pay the multiple payments. Damrinon shelohu toveach, we say, well, he acquires it, so that when he acquires it, whose animal is being slaughtered? His own animal. He's slaughtering. The thief is in effect then slaughtering his own animal. So that the payment of 4 or 5 is where you slaughter a stolen animal. But he stole a lamb. What he's slaughtering is not that. What he's slaughtering is a ram. And through the change, the thief is said to have acquired it. And therefore, the Torah fine levied upon a thief that slaughters or sells that which he had stolen doesn't apply. Because that which the Torah fined him for was for the slaughtering of a stolen animal. The ram is not that which he stole at all. We now turn to the Gemara text. Before we get to the triangles that appear, we first read the teaching of Rabbi Elah. Amar Rabbi Elah, Gonav, he stole Tlevenas Ayel, he stole a lamb that in the course of time matured into a ram. Aigel Venas Ashor, or he stole a calf, which in the course of the time matured into an ox. Naase Shinui Biodo, the transformation took place in his possession, in the thief's possession. V'kono, now we dashed underline that v'kono, that's the central theme here, and he thereby acquires it. And therefore, tavachu mochar, if after the transformation took place, the thief then slaughtered the animal or sold it, there's no payment of 4 or 5 that ordinarily would be paid when a thief slaughters or sells this stolen item. Why is it not going to be paid here? Shelohu toveach, shelohu mocher, because in this case he would in effect be slaughtering his own animal or selling his own animal. Now the triangle. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh structural note. Triangle is featured, and it represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth type discussion. As you might have noticed, the triangles will be appearing in alternating directions. With the point facing upwards, kushyos al Rabbi Elah, they represent challenges to Rabbi Elah. The inverted triangle represents tshuvos, responses. Before we engage in the text itself, what I would like to do, and I do this from time to time, is focus just on the markings without the content and see what the direction we're going in. So you notice we have immediately Eisvei Rabbi Hanina Rabbi Elah. The Eisvei with the point facing up indicates a question on Rabbi Elah, and that's what those words actually mean. Rabbi Hanina asks on Rabbi Elah. If you go down 2 more lines, you encounter a bracketed section of Gemara. Do you see how long that bracketed section is? You see where it ends? I hope you do. You see, use your bracket length indicator. By the time you complete the bracketed section, which, by the way, contains a lot of triangles in it, when you get to the end of the bracketed section, the Gemara then says, Mikol Mokom Kashya, that after all is said and done, we're left with our question on Rab Elah. So that the question that we open up with here essentially sets the stage. We're left with a question by the time we get to that point. Regarding the bracketed section, we have a note, a starred note, that reads as follows. Let's read it together. So, Grayim Elu, these brackets, the bracketed section, Einom L'shem Dilug, it's not for skipping purposes. We, in Gemara markings, often bracket off sections with the advice of an initial skipping to maintain the a logical flow and not get sidetracked by the information contained therein. That's not the case over here. The purpose of the brackets is not really for skipping, Ela Laharois, but rather to show Shekushyazu Mehabraisa, the question raised from the source that Rav Hanina will be quoting, Nishar ad lasof, asogram, the question will remain till the end of the bracketed section. And we also note that the basis legishazu shelanu, a basis for our approach, you can find a hint to it, limtso berashi, if you look at Rashi, Mikomokum Kashya, that you see 3-4 lines from the end of the Rashi column, Rashi is very brief there. He says, Mikomokum Kashya L'Reb Ila. Why did he have to spell out to whom the question is? Is it when you read the Gemara, do you not think it would be obvious upon whom the question is? So we indicate here from the fact Mikashya Tzorech Lefarish Al Mi Akushya, from the fact that it was necessary to explain upon whom the question is, you can assume that you would easily get lost in this discussion. And it's very important, and Rashi, of course, the magnificent commentator that he was, puts us back on track to tell us that the question that we raised on Riv Ila was never answered. And we, with our brackets, are able to accomplish that by giving you this overview. A question is raised on Riv Ila, then you take out the bracketed section, and you see that you're left with that question. Another way, by the way, to evaluate this through the markings is if you keep track of the triangles and their alternating format, the last triangle in the sequence is what kind of triangle? Point facing? Yes, it's facing up. So that we're still left with a problem for Rav Ila. Now that we've mapped out the Gemara in a skeletal fashion, let's go to the text. Eisvei Rav Hanina Rav Ila. Rav Hanina, also an important name, we've underlined his name. The Gemara later is going to refer to them, albeit not in name, but in a pronoun form. 4 lines from the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, we're going to refer to Rav Ila and Ravi Hanina. So it's important to be aware and familiar where the names appear. So Rav Hanina asks on Rav Ila the following Tanaic source. Gonav tle v'nasa ayel, ergel v'nasa shor. The same situation that Rav Ila addressed. Mishalim tishlumi kefel v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha ka'ein shigonav. The kefel payment and the 4 or 5 payment, which is for tavicha and mechira, is paid in accordance with the value of the animal at the time of the theft. Now, but what happened here? He stole a lamb. It turned into a ram. And then he slaughters it. And he does have to pay. He has to pay the 4-5. V'hi salka daitach kanya b'shinui. If, as Rav Ila claimed, that he acquires it through the transformation, amai mashalem, why should this thief have to pay the 4-5? Shelo hu toveach, shelo hu mocher. He is simply slaughtering his own, or selling his own animal. He acquired it through the transformation. That question, as I said, by the time you get till the point 5 lines from the bottom of the Gemara will say there, Mikol Mokom Kashya, this will remain as a difficulty. Now, let's go through the bracketed section. Omar Lay. So, Rav Ila says back, V'elo Mai Shinui Lo Koni. Are you going to say then that Shinui, the chain transformation, does not cause a acquirement? Amai Mishalem Kain Shigonav. why should the payment, if there's no acquisition involved, why should the payment be ke'ein shegonav, in accordance with the value at the time of the theft? L'shalem ki hashta. Let him pay in accordance with its value right now. Omar le, so Rav Hanina says back, ki hashta haynu time adolo mashalem. As far as your suggestion of it being paid in accordance with what it is worth right now, that no. Mishum di omar le, because the thief can say, tura ganvi mimcha. He says with a tone of wonderment, the value of the item worth now is in its mature state. He says, did I steal from you an ox? Dichra, a ram. Ganvi mimcha? Did I steal a ram from you? That would be much too harsh to charge him for the value of something that he didn't steal. Omar le, Rachmona nitzlan mehai daita. So he says back, God or heaven should have mercy, should protect us from that analysis. Omar le, so he says back, Adarabba, to the contrary, Rachmona nitzlan midaito didach. Heaven should save us from your thinking. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera enters the picture with his, we'll say, suggestion. Technically speaking, Rabbi Zera is a question. So you might ask, why do we have an inverted triangle? The reason for the inverted triangle is because Rabbi Zera represents a type of thinking that parallels Rabbi Yehuda, and that is the idea of kinyan. And so Rabbi Zera says, "V'nikninhu b'shinu Hashem, let acquisition take place through the change, the shinui in the name." In other words, it started off as being a lamb, and now it's a ram. It started off as being a calf. Now it's an ox. Shinui Hashem, the change in name, should be the basis of acquisition. Rashi, toward the lower part of his commentary, says, "V'nikninu b'shinu Hashem, nehi d'shevach d'gufei lo havei shinui." Granted, the improvement in the body of the animal, the transformation body-wise, doesn't constitute a change. The memeilah koshavach v'yozal, it was passive. It's not something that the thief physically invested in. Umiu b'shmo v'ada yishtani, but in terms of name, it certainly has undergone a change. So we respond to that, and in effect, reject this thinking of kinyan. Omar Rava shor ben yomo koru shor, ayil ben yomo koru ayil. When the animal was born, a one-day-old ox can be referred to by the term ox. So that even though we might have called it a calf, calling it an ox upon birth is also accurate. We'll prove that scripturally. Calling a lamb upon its birth a ram is legitimate, so that there really is no shinui shem. And to prove it, shor ben yomo koru shor, a one-day-old ox is referred to by the term shor, tichtiv, shor o kesev o eis ki yivale. Here it talks about a shor, and kivale means when it's born, when the shor is born, so that upon birth it's already referred to by the term shor. Ayil ben yomo koru ayil, a ram one day old could be referred to by the same word ayil, dechtiv, ve'elei tzencha lo achalti. In the pasuk, Yankiv Avinu is exclaiming and telling Lavan, I took nothing of yours. And amongst the things he says, Eile Tzoncha Lachat, I didn't eat from Eile Tzoncha. Now, what was Yaakov Avinu saying to Lavan when he was exclaiming, when defending himself against Lavan's false charges? I said, basically saying, I took nothing of yours. Eilim hu delo ocha kvasim ocha? Would you think that he was saying to him, well, I didn't eat any of your rams, but I did consume your lambs, your young ones? Of course not. He was trying to say, I ate nothing of yours. Elolav shmami no, ayol ben yomo koreai. When Yankiv was saying, Eile tzoncha lo ochalti, Eile is the plural form of ayol, I didn't eat any of yours, not even your one-day-old born lambs, which the pasuk refers to by the term ayo. Mikol mokom kashya. After all is said and done, we still have the original question that Reb Hanina raised against Reb Elo from a Tanaic source, wherein we saw that the transformation from lamb to ram or from calf to ox does not constitute acquisition, which would have thereby exempted the thief for paying the 4 or 5 payment as a result of slaughtering the adult animal. Whereas, according to Rabbi Elah, the transformation from young to adult did constitute acquisition, thereby exempting him from the 4 or 5 payment. Omer of Sheshes, Rav Sheshes answers on behalf of Rav Elah, ha money, the source that Reb Hanina raised as an objection to Rabbi Elah Beis Shammai, that is a Tanaic source, but authored by the school of Shammai, which is in all due respect, of course, but it's a school that we do not consider a source of applied halacha. In other words, we don't follow their halachic rulings. Rav Elah, who was a later Amoraic authority, isn't challenged by a source authored by Beis Shammai. The Amri, they say Shinui b'mkaymai oimei v'loi kani. Their approach is that even though a change took place, it doesn't cause it to leave the domain of the owner. In other words, the thief doesn't acquire it. The item remains in the domain of the owner. To see this point, we have, by the way, a long answer marking for Sheshes, so we have to develop how do we see this in a source that Beis Shammai holds Shinui b'mekaymai oimeid. The expression, we should get used to it as soon as we can. It's an expression that appears very often in upcoming Gemaras. Shinui b'mekaymai oimeid means that even though a change took place, b'mekomo, in its original place, it stands. Meaning it didn't leave the original possession, the possession of the original owner. Tisanya, we have a source. This source doesn't deal with theft, but we're going to use the source at hand to analyze what is the law regarding change. So that in Talmudic learning, it's very important at all times to attempt to extract a principle from various topics, various sources, and thereby giving us the flexibility to apply that principle in different topics. Here, we're talking about, in this source, we'll be speaking about a food type gift, or payment would be better. The word gift isn't the best word, rather payment given by a man to a harlot for the harlotress experience. That is called in the Torah by the term esnan. And the Torah says that an esnan zoino lo sovi beis elokeinu, that an esnan paid to a zona, to a harlot, is not to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if someone paid a harlot with an animal, that animal, though it's blemish free, and it's a type of animal that could be offered as a sacrifice, if it's given to her as payment for harlotry services, it's rendered unfit to be used as a sacrifice. As we speak in terms of sacrifices, there are also meal offering sacrifices. There are, and as part of those meal offering sacrifices, oil is used. So, bearing all that in mind, we read the following source. Nosan lo be'esnena, a man gave as payment to the harlot, chitin. He gave her wheat, raw wheat. Ve'asan solis, and she processed them into flour. Zesim v'asan shemen. He gave her zesim, olives, and she processed it into oil. Anovim v'asan yayin. He gave her grapes, and she made them into wine. So soles, shemen, and yayin are ingredients or elements that are part of the sacrificial family. Tani chada osir v'tanya idach muter. You have a reference to two Tanaic sources, which we simply underline. One source says that the final product here, the flour or the oil or the wine, osir means osir, it cannot be used as a sacrifice. V'tanya chada muter. One says they can be used as a sacrifice. The Omar Rav Yosef, Tani Gurion de Asburg. Rav Yosef relates that this gentleman, Gurion from Asburg, teaches, he actually applies names to the two sources that we just had underlined, Beis Shammai Oisrin or Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Shammai says that the use of the final product that underwent change from what it originally was when given as payment, nevertheless, it cannot be used as a sacrifice. Beis Hillel says it can be used. What do you see already? You see that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that change does not alter its identity or its legal status. If originally chitin were given to the zona, so the wheat could be labeled an esnan zona. Does that label change when it's made into solas, into flour? Well, by virtue of the fact that you say it remains prohibited to be offered as a sacrifice, you see that it did not undergo change, and it remains labeled as an esnan zona. The solas is looked at, the oil, the wine, they're all looked at as esnan zona, as the payment to the zona. Was she paid with wheat, with flour, oil, or wine? Well, technically speaking, no, she wasn't paid with that. However, halachically, since the original product, the raw product, was the payment to the zona, the subsequent change does not change the label of that item. That is Beis Shammai's approach. And hence the source above that Rav Hanina raised as a question on Rav Ilah is a reflection of Beis Shammai. Though it was stolen as a lamb and became later a ram, no change. Physically, yes, of course, there's a change, but halachically speaking, that doesn't constitute a change that would enable acquisition to take place. Hence the multiple payments for slaughtering or selling are imposed. The Gemara continues, my time with the Beis Shammai, what's the basis of Beis Shammai? Here we're focusing on the case of the Esnan, and we should look together before we go further in the Gemara at the Pasuk that the Gemara will refer to. Dvarim, we have this included in the margin of our Gemara, Dvarim Chof Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes. It says there, Loi Sovi Esnan Zoyna U'Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem Elokecha, thou shalt not bring a gift paid to an harlot or something given as payment or in exchange for a dog to the holy temple of God, l'chol neder, for the fulfillment of any vow, sacrificial vow, ki tevas Hashem alekecha gam shnehem. Both of these are an abomination to the Almighty. So we have at the end of the pasuk, almost at the end, you see the word gam shnehem. So we're asking, what is the basis of Beis Shammai? Dichtiv, the Gemara answers, gam l'rabois shinuyehim. The word gam is a word designed to include beyond that which is written, and we're therefore going to include not only the original item given as an esnan as being prohibited, but even shinuyehim, the item after it underwent change. The physical change does not change the identity or the original label or status of the item. Ubeis Hillel, heim, velo shinuyehem. In the pasuk, we didn't see that word heim per se, but you saw the word shnehem. The word shnehem is a combined word of shne and heim. So the heimem of that word is telling me heim means them. Those two items, the Esnan Zona, the Merchir Kelev, those are prohibited. Velo shinuyehem, not their transformation, that's not prohibited. So that if she was given wheat and she converted it into solas, it is mutter to be used. The only thing that is prohibited is heim, the original item. Ubeis Shammai, hahu. We continue at the top of Daf Samach Vav, Heim Velo Vlo Doiseim Huda'asa. The word Heim has a limitation effect according to Beis Shammai as well. However, it's coming to exclude the Vlodos, the offspring, so that if a Zona was paid with a sheep as her Esnan, if the sheep gives birth to offspring, the offspring are not prohibited to be used as a sacrifice. Ubeis Hillel, well, what does Beis Hillel say about the Vlodos? So they say, Tarti Shamis Mina, from the Haim, we learn both Haim Velo Shinuyahem, only the original is prohibited, not the changed item. Haim Velo Vlodosam, only the original mother animal paid, used as payment, not the offspring. Ubeis Hillel Hoksiv Gam. Well, what does Beis Hillel do with the word Gam that was the basis of Beis Shammai's analysis? The Gemara says Gam le Beis Hillel Kashya. The word Gam for Beis Hillel is a difficulty. It's a technical difficulty, but for our purposes, we've brought the source for Beis Shammai, that Shinui b'mekayimai oimeit, and therefore Rav Ilah made his point, and his point withstood the challenges. Here we have a bracketed section. This bracketed section is noted on the side by the starred note. Let's read it together. Achrei ha-sugrayim, after the brackets, ha-gemora mamshicha binyan shinui kena. The Gemara will continue with the issue that Rav Ilah started, the idea of transformation, change, being the basis of acquisition. B'soch ha-sugrayim, within the brackets, ha-gemora ma'alei kushya al-shitas rav d'liel samachei amin aleph. The Gemara will raise a question on Rav, the Shita with whom we opened today's shiur. Shomer de tashlum kefil v'dalvei kish'as hamoda bedin. Rav, if you recall, said that those multiple payments are made in terms of the value at the time of the court appearance. Now, in the brackets, we're going to raise a question. Notice we have a long question marking. This is a question on Rav. So, based on whom is the question? The question is going to be based on Rav Ila and Rabbi Hanina. Those are the names. I tried to emphasize them before on Samachay Omid Beis. We had a firebox around Rav Ila. We had two lines afterwards. We had Rabbi Hanina's name underlined. The Gemara continues. And by the way, the reference to the names you can see in Rashi at the very top of the Rashi commentary. The Gemara, long question. Ad kan lo pligi, elo the mor savar shinui kene, umor savar ein shinui kene. Up till now, there was a disagreement between Rav Ila and Rav Hanina regarding the power of shinui. Is it kene or not? Rav Ila maintained that shinui is kene. Rav Hanina, by virtue of the fact that he was raising a question against him, it shows us he holds that ein shinui kene. Avol le'inyan shlumi. However, regarding payments, kulei alma, regarding the kefel payment, kulei alma, everyone will agree, meaning Rav Ila, Rav Hanina will agree, kedamei kara mishalem. Those multiple payments are going to be based on meikara, the original value. What did Rav say about multiple payments? They're based on kishas hamoda bedin. Dikotoni, well, it's said in the source that Rabbi Hanina had introduced. It's said there, dikotoni mishalem teshumi kefil v'teshumi arba v'chamisha ke'ein shegonav. The multiple payments are in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Lema tevetufto derav. Should we say that this is a refutation of Rav? Diyoma Rav. Rav said keren ke'ein shegonav mishalem. The principle is in accordance with the original value. Tashlumei kefil tshumei arba v'chamisha kishasamod bedin. But the multiple payments are kishasam al bin. By the way, the dashed underlining we have here is in light of the dashed underlining two lines above. Above, we saw multiple payments, kain shegonav. Here you see multiple payments are kishas hamod abedin. The Gemara answers, Omar Rava. Rava answers on behalf of Rav. It depends on how the payment is made. Tloim, if the thief who had stolen lambs decides to pay back, instead of cash, to pay back lambs, kidamei kora, so then it will be in accordance with what it originally was. Namely, if he stole, let us say, one lamb, he's going to pay his tashlume kefel two lambs, which is ke'en shegonav. That is what he had stolen. It's in accordance with what it was at the time of the theft. Stole a lamb, return a lamb. However, and that is what the source was speaking about. Rav, domim means if it's a cash payment, then kishel achshav. The multiple payments will be kishas hamod bedin. That is what Rav had been describing. So that there is no, let's say, contradiction or challenge to Rav from the Tanaic source. The Tanaic source, just to repeat, was speaking about a payment in kind of the item, the same type of item that he had stolen. The din of Rav, the multiple payments will be kidahashta. That's if he's not paying in terms of the item that he stole, but a cash payment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.